Und jetzt Vollgas über den Gaumen. Das schmeckt so gut. Und noch ein bisschen mehr. Und
Moment mal, hier steht 100% ohne künstliche Zusätze, nur mit natürlichen Zutaten.
Frosta Butter Chicken mit jeder Menge Bäm. Ohne Bäh. Das ist das Frosta Reinheitsgebot. 100% ohne Zusätze. Schon seit 2003.
What disasters are you currently coping with?
I had someone come by my house at 9 o'clock this morning and knock on my door. Mm-hmm. And they were with a tree service. And I had some trees here that need to get taken down. And I have a Japanese maple on the front corner of the house, which is a beautiful tree, but it's placed terribly. Like, truly going to grow into the foundation and wreck my shit. He was like, do you ever think about doing anything with this tree? It's going to ruin your house. I was like, yeah, actually, I need to cut down. I was like, but out back is the one I really need. I have a big tree that is somewhat dead. It either got hit by lightning and then like ants moved into it. It wasn't solid, but it was like 120 foot tall. So a danger to me and my neighbor. I was like, I need this cut down. And he was like, okay. He was like, well, I will drop it for $500. For $800, I'll cut everything up for you as well. And okay. I was like, okay, that's a really good deal, actually. That's not a bad deal for that. And I was going to keep it for firewood and share some of it with our good friend Stephen Hartzell. When he dropped the tree, it sort of shot back a little bit into the base of it where it was cut, shot back a little bit into my neighbor's fence and broke just a small part of their fence, like 4x4 section of their fence got a hole punched in it, and it broke the 2x4 support beam that goes across the bottom.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, I didn't anticipate that happening. I'm sorry. We're going to take care of that for you. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, okay, this is fine. He came back about 30 minutes ago with the full piece of fence that will go in and replace that messed up part. And he stood it up against the fence, and he is no longer here. And so I don't know if he intended to when he said replace the fence, like, I'm going to go get that for you and then not do anything else. I don't know how to put that in. My neighbor's an ornery old man. Like, he's going to raise hell about this regardless. But, like, the least amount of hell he raises is if it's back in place and his fence is intact.
Did you see this individual dropping off this portion of fence?
No.
I saw him appeared there?
I saw him pull up, and he told me, he's like, I'm not going to bother you. And I was like, okay. I'm going to get that fixed for you. And I was like, okay. I saw him pull up, and I was like, oh, okay, he must be coming back for the fence. And then I saw him leave. And when I went out back, that's where I saw the fence was just laying there.
Yeah.
But I've been in and out because, and I forgot to tell you this part too, Jason, I have a building out back.
There's more?
Yeah, I have a building out back that the gutter kind of fell off part of it. And so I'm like, fuck, I got to take, and it's bent really bad. So I got to take this whole gutter down. And so I was out there taking down the gutter, and I'm doing a load of laundry inside, and I hear like gurgling coming from a house, which is
can I just say when you're in your home and you hear gurgling is never a good noise. There's not it's a scenario good. Where you go, no, that's gurgling. That's right.
This is fine.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Unless you're in No Limit Records intro.
Yeah. I walk into my laundry room where I'm doing a load of laundry, and it is draining all into the floor because there's some sort of backup in my sewer system. None of the other stuff is backing up, so I don't think it's my septic tank or anything like that. I can't figure out what this clog is, and it's like a funky shape. I can't get something down in there to try and root it out. So I called a plumber, and he's like, well, I can be there tomorrow. But I need laundry soon. We have a live show. I don't know if listeners know we have a live show in Atlanta on Friday. I was hoping to show up clean to that event.
Maybe we'll just relocate it to your house, and then while we're there,
we just
someone will know how to fix a fence in a way.
The community will provide.
Full cast.
This person
show.
Who Let's believes fences are drag and drop, we'll correct that.
Yeah. So it's just been a disaster of a day.
Yeah.
It's just really been a shitty. And I'm sick.
And you're
like,
sick.
I'm sick. I'm like at the end of being sick. I don't have a fever anymore. I broke my fever.
Mm-hmm. And it's not COVID.
I can breathe. And it's not COVID. I've tested negative for COVID multiple times, which is great. I had that a couple months ago. I thought I was going to be one of the weird people that got it twice within like a short period of time. But it's just been awful. It's been terrible. How are y'all?
Better than that, but
yeah, I'm awesome.
Rub it in. Come on.
Relatively great, dude.
I'm great. Haven't heard a gurgle. It's been a gurgle-free house.
Sir, but does your ordinary neighbor have like a dog or like a reason for a pet to be an emergency situation? Or
he has a little dog, an older small dog.
One who isn't going to get up and out.
No, like it could get through this hole in the fence right now, but I don't think it would want to.
Yeah. Can I be honest? Is this old man spry enough to be a problem for you?
Yeah, no, he's when I say old man, he's like early 60s old man. He's not old man.
Oh, so Spencer old.
Yeah, yeah, he's still working. Pretty much the exact same age as Spencer Hall.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does he have a podcast too?
Yeah, do you think you could take him? Like, that's the thing. First of all, if he was... No? Okay, so he's that kind of old man.
This guy builds cabinets. Like, he just seems... Mm-hmm. And he's got that teal Silverado from, like, the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's overall just kind of really cool. I'm intimidated by him a great deal. And his yard is perfect.
I think you're going to bond over this.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think this is the breakthrough, literally, that your relationship needed.
Perhaps.
Yeah, like this is the guy who I think... Like, the old man you want, okay, next door is the one who only has the energy to really poke up his head through the fence like a Muppet and be like, hey, my fence. Like, that's what you want. You want the guy who's like, I hate everything and I do nothing about it.
Yeah.
Dude, the teal truck. I don't know. He seems pretty capable. This could be an issue. But yeah, you could bond over this. I think you should make an opponent. You should make a common enemy of the man who deserted you.
Oh, I am. If he doesn't come back and put that fucking fence in, I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him and make an enemy out of him as soon as we're done with this show.
Pit them against each other and you take sides with your neighbor. There you go.
Yeah, you need to look at your neighbor and be like, when he comes over, before he can get word one out of his mouth, what you need to do is you need to go, I need your help in beating someone's ass.
Here's what we're going to do.
Where are we going?
You hit him high and I'll do the thing where I crawl behind and slouch behind his knees so he stumbles over me.
It's my ideal role in a fight. I possess the skills to trip a man.
The lump.
Yeah.
I'm actually peeking outside just to make sure he hasn't returned and he is not. It's still just a piece of fence sitting up against the
You're going to look out and it's going to be like upside down now. He came back, moved it, left again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? That's a powerful move, though. It's when you go, I'm going to fix this problem. What are you going to do? I'm disappearing.
I've gestured at it.
Yeah, I'm gone. I'm out. See y'all later.
It is really cool that his inventory had the exact matching fence part that you needed, but simply no application.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty standard fence that they have in the backyard here. It's the wood fence with the, like, they all look the same, right? There's no sort of ornate carve done in the tops of it or anything like that. He literally found like a piece of the same fence. He might have stole it, now that I'm thinking about,
from the other side of the yard. They might
be missing another piece of fence somewhere.
You go get another neighbor coming over and being like, hey, someone cut an exact hole out of my fence, the shape of the hole that was placed in your fence.
The entire neighborhood, each one moving one slat of fence until someone at the very end is the one screwed.
Yeah, baby, this sounds like an engineering solution. I'm sorry. This is just good thinking.
Not my problem anymore.
I'm going to have to learn. I think that's the big thing here is I'm going to have to replace this piece of fence myself, and I'm going to just have to learn how to do that.
This sounds like a great Hand in the Dirt episode. Like, this is a Hand in the Dirt editorial meeting right now.
Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. My name is Spencer Hall. Today I am joined by we're gonna call it Slim Crew. That's because it's three of us. We got Jason Kirk.
Hello.
And Michael Serber over here on the ones and twos. He of the many problems, the house of many problems today.
What a name that is. Like, you know, there's lots of ancient civilizations where people are just named after a trait about themselves. And
yes, that would be my tribal name. Who is he? That is House of Many Problems.
Yeah.
Is he cool? No, he's very stressed out.
Well, Cerber's cool.
all the way. It's server's cool. Yeah,
I would. I think I'm cool. I think I'm cool under these circumstances.
Yeah,
compared
yeah.
to like what Felder would be like. No offense to Felder, but I'm trying to imagine how would Felder be handling this situation right now, and I don't think it would be the same as me. Well, he'd also probably be getting that fence put in.
More cussing, which is probably gets the fence put in.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also, you'd have some elaborate recipe this was postponing, right? You'd be like, oh, well, I was just gonna make my own empanadas, and then I have to do the sauce and everything, and they gotta fix that. Yeah.
Now my kid's gotta eat Now my kid has to eat a sandwich made from homemade bread and corned beef that I cooked myself now. And the cheese that I created on my
own. Acceptable.
Now the child has to eat this.
Now I have to get takeout. You would I like how that's that. Not even an option, right? Like that's not like no. Gonna make it myself.
That's like mid apocalypse level of
yeah. I wanted to ask the most important question of all for a college football podcast to both of you, which is this: has anyone attempted to big brain you and explain the decision to take the ball first in OT in Super Bowl? Because I would like to start the discourse by saying this: I want Malcolm Gladwell jailed. I want everybody involved with the entire Freakonomics community put in prison. I want them to answer for the crimes that they have committed against American sports discourse, because I have gone from an ironic appreciator to football is like the wind. Listen to it in your soul, to being the person who's like, yeah, football is the wind. You should do this. I'm not anti-analytics. I'm anti-dumbasses who now think that this is a game they can play.
Like on the midwit meme, it's like having the ball is good. Actually, giving away the ball is statistically like having the ball is good.
Yeah. Do you want to score here? My favorite question.
Scored too soon. No. Scored.
Scored. Do you know how hard that thing is?
Points are good.
Points are good, right? No. You want the ball first, because then you want the ball third.
Third. You want the odd numbers of the ball.
Which is the thing that I thought was a joke until I looked up and saw that that's what Kyle Shanahan actually said in defending it today.
Yeah. It's such a difficult thing, because like, I get it. Statistically, it makes sense. Like the likeliest score that you could, the single likeliest score you could have after two possessions would be 0-0. Like the second likeliest is probably 7-7, right? Having said all that, it's difficult to argue that to a human brain. I read Bill Barnwell saying, yeah, the choice is fine, it's defensible, there are pros and cons. And I'm like, well, yeah. Bill Barnwell's a superhuman brain. I'm sure it makes sense to him. It doesn't make sense to my human brain.
No. And here's the thing is, if he had been right, we would all be having this discussion about what a big brain decision he'd made,
If they had won on the third possession, then we would say, but wow, he's done it. He's unlocked football. He is, his master form is upon us.
That's what the flat bill hat is for. So
brim's full of brain. That's what it is.
So the brain can receive the appropriate aerodynamic support when traveling through open space. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not what happened. In fact, what happened was the Chiefs used their subsequent possession. They took advantage of having the information of exactly how many points they needed, so they knew that they should attempt to convert a fourth down. They did, and they won. And if those drives had been reversed, the Niners would have had the exact same opportunity. So. Yeah. It didn't turn out well for Kyle Shanahan. But, I mean, what was he going to do, win? What was he going to do, not blow a double-digit lead in the Super Bowl? Why would that happen? Why would he not do that? He loves doing that. Kyle Shanahan's love to blow double-digit leads in Super Bowls.
That's
three of them. That's incredible.
It's his kink, and I need you to not shame it.
It's so good. Like, the second they got up 10-0, I posted, like, hey, look what the score is. And everyone is sharing it, like, oh my God, this is awesome. I can't wait. And, like, Niners fans are like, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Hater.
Don't
hater.
No. Not even like that. Just like, don't look at us. We know. We know it's going to be bad. Everyone knew they were going to lose.
It's a lot like I'm currently writing an article about whether you could land a plane. Spoiler, you couldn't. And it's a lot like, I think if you were doing fine and you were heading to the airport, you're like, okay, we're good. And all of a sudden, like, you get on the line and it's like, hey, it's the president. You're like, no, don't look. I don't need to know. Don't need that.
Got a job for you.
Yeah, I've got a job for you. No. You know, the eyes of the world are upon you. And I'm like, that's what I'm going to screw up.
literally, the most viewed telecast in history is upon you.
Yeah.
People who do not care about football, people who never cared about football until, call it 3 months ago, are watching you.
Yeah. People who, by the way, now know exactly how harebrained your decision was.
Yeah, people who have spent the past 3 months learning things and who have determined that it's probably best to just do the obvious thing.
Yeah, that's it. This is a great college football versus pro football argument, because Kyle Shanahan did the thing I think you would do if you were a pro football coach and confident in the skills and abilities and intellect of your players and your staffers. You would say, I'm going to take the ball first. We're going to score. That's what we're going to do because we're competent. Man, college, there's an entire cottage industry of coaches who have survived multiple athletic director changes, presidential changes, decades, gone through multiple presidential administrations, weathered the storm of many a 6-6 season, strictly on the assumption that no one could do anything right. Like, this is like this is the Ferentz school of coaching. This is the old school, SEC gym coach, like the glorified SEC gym coach, right? Are we going to play ball? The Muschamp coach. This is their way of doing things. They would go, no, we're going to take the ball second. Why? Because you can't do anything right. That's it. That's it. And the thing is, Big Brain Kyle put his foot right in that bear trap. He did that because sometimes football is a game played by really intelligent people doing really smart things. And sometimes it turns into random stupidity and violence. And that's what this game turned into for most of it, to be honest. Most of this game was random ball bounce, random way, everyone frown and be confused.
This game was in its own way awesome. Like, I love that this was just statistically speaking, for a lot of people, this was their first taste of championship football. And this is what we served up. This, where the highlight for about three quarters was the punt coverage, to which, to be clear, is no shade to punt coverage. I watch Big Ten football.
Sick. Which was sick.
It's fucking awesome. Some of the Chris Conley.
Oh.
Give that man some sort of punt coverage guy of the year award for that.
I'm sorry, we're not going to ignore the University of Florida's own Tommy Townsend.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was. Yeah. What a special team spectacle it was.
God, yeah, well, yes, in so many ways, because none of us are having this conversation if San Francisco doesn't hit a fucking extra point.
That was a great special teams play by the Chiefs. So it was just nonstop excellent special teams play.
What was the difference? The thing that turned the tide and allowed us all to sit here and goggle at how good Patrick Mahomes is at his job? Oh, that's right. A big fat man sticking his hand up.
Big paw. Big paw.
That's right.
Whack.
Big paw wins again. That's my favorite kind of football game, where Kyle Big Brain Shanahan is put into, like, he's put into the crippler by gravity and the laws of stupid. That's it. Where all of your little X's and O's and plans go completely sideways thanks to nope. Fat
bonk.
It's so good. It's everything I want out of the sport. A+, no notes, none.
It's weird. I feel like I didn't even see any of the, like, there's no scoring complaints, which might be because, like, Mahomes is here, we know business will pick up eventually, but I don't know, it felt like there was sufficient drama for everyone, even with the low scoring, which it feels to me like I'm sort of like asking people how their meal is if it's a dish I don't eat, you know, because, like, I don't care about scoring, but I know, like, most of y'all do.
It's like me with macaroni and cheese. You're like, I think that's good.
You seem to like it. You seem fine with it. Everything else here is great, but you seem to like the thing you like.
Yeah, because I know, like, I was very happy just watching Chris Jones and L'Jarius Sneed and pretty much anyone else on the Chiefs. Trent McDuffie, if you haven't watched it, if you want to go, hey, what does a corner do? What is a corner supposed to do? Go watch Trent McDuffie. You can watch the Super Bowl. It's actually only like 15 minutes of TV. Ha ha! Got you again, America. Got you to spend $1 billion for 22 minutes of action. But you did. Go watch the whole thing. Go watch Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie, the corner for the Kansas City Chiefs, turned Deebo Samuel into an afterthought. That's not possible. And he did it.
If not for, obviously Mahomes' numbers were, you know, they were great against a good defense, game-winning drive, blah, 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 all that. But, like, if not for that, someone in that Niners front winning the MVP would have felt really good. I mean, you know, Carl Laftis had 3 QB hits, you know, just on and on.
Purdue's own, George Carl Laftis.
They were just all over Purdy, like, the entire time. And there are some quarterbacks who thrive. And if Josh Allen, if guys are all over him, it doesn't matter. What are they going to do? Sack him? But, like, Brock Purdy's not a guy who can just bounce off of people. He has to make decisions, and they forced him into quite a few.
I mean, he thinks he's a guy who could bounce off people. Let's get it clear. I'm not going to tell Brock Purdy what he's capable of or not, which, by the way, thought Brock was fine.
Sure.
Against
which still feels weird to say, a really great Chiefs defense. Even after a whole year of this, I'm still like, part of my brain is still like, how is NFL Texas Tech doing this? But they completely rebranded. They pulled the opposite of like Nick Saban. Like they've gone from all offense to all defense. And now the problem for everyone else is they might be able to, you know, try a little bit of both. Like maybe draft a couple receivers.
I like that they did that. I like that they managed to rebrand, keep the quarterback, but also rebrand as, you know what? I'm already handsome. I think I'm going to start lifting some weights. That's what I'm going to do.
That's like handsome because of like one trait that won't go away. So we're going to work on it. We're just going to let that be load bearing for the entire handsome factor.
Yeah.
And then we're going to allocate all resources to everything else. It's like we have these two guys. They're great. That's our offense. And otherwise, we have a bunch of little guys who sort of orbit them. And then otherwise, every investment goes in defense. And it worked.
You know what? I'm pretty. These eyes. So I'm just going to get eyes that make my eyes look bigger.
More eyes.
More eyes. Big Disney eyes.
That's cover me in eyeballs.
I think we just described the Chiefs as an anime kitten that decided to go on a cycle or two and lift. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a goose.
Good with that.
Captain Marvel goose. That's what they did.
Yeah. Also, let's shout out to Andy Reid because, again, the winning motion in this game was called corn dog. That's right.
Yeah.
Corn dog. Shuffle Mecole Hardman. That's the University of Georgia's own Mecole Hardman. Again, not trying to be an SEC partisan. I just like to cite Mecole Hardman because that's another offensive player thriving in the NFL after being underutilized at Georgia. Remember, don't go there, kids. Don't. Unless you're a defender.
That's what happens. You'll end up catching the Super Bowl game winner. This argument's falling apart, Spencer.
That's it.
Look at the horrible fate will befall you.
Ooh, scary stories.
You'll be the first one hugging the Super Bowl MVP. Won't that suck?
That sucks so bad. Don't do that.
I did really like the immediately after the game. Well, not immediately, but a bit after the game, it was like, wow, none of the Niners knew about the overtime rule, which, you know, was it wasn't kept a secret. It was publicized a couple years ago, you know, and ideally it would have kicked in, you know, before the Falcons suffered the exact fate that the rule was meant to prevent, but that's neither here nor there. But like the Niners not knowing it and the Chiefs practicing it as far back as training camp, it's like, okay, on the one hand, like this is a demonstration of how things end up the way they end up, but like at the same time, Mecole Hardman, who caught the winning touchdown, was Patrick Mahomes was like, this dude didn't even know he just won the Super Bowl. I had to tell
him. No.
That's so good. Football is really complicated. Like no one could keep up with all this shit. Especially when rules change.
There's just way too many pieces moving. Somebody I saw, it was like, hey, man, what would have happened if they had done, like, it'd be sick if they'd done college overtime? And I'm like, no, it would have been garbage. It would have been absolute trash. Because you know what would have happened? It would have been Pat Mahomes finding increasingly embarrassing ways to torture defense and make you look stupid, right? It would have been Andy Reid. Like, you're asking Andy Reid, ooh, what if you only get to use the box of weapons you got from the Skunk Works? What if you only use the crazy shit? right? Ooh, the men in black guns. Let's see what those do. Like, that's what you would be asking Andy Reid to do. Like, I mean, oh, Andy, surely you don't have an insane play to pull out here.
Oh, how I've been looking forward to.
Hold on a sec.
Like, yeah, yeah. 11th overtime against Andy Reid. Like, he's already dropped that little merry-go-round play on you, whereas you're down to, like, I don't know, handoff. You know, you're completely out of ideas.
I mean, you already, San Francisco used their trick play. They used the wide receiver.
Yeah, that's it.
They're done. Kyle's got 428 different variations on 10 plays. Andy Reid has some shit he cribbed from the University of Minnesota's 1932 red zone package.
Andy Reid's like, oh, I've been looking forward to doing this one, but they told me it was too sexy for TV, but now's the time. They can't stop me now.
He's got something called the Gimpy Drifter, and he's going to call it. And you won't even recognize it as a play from scrimmage.
Tony Romo is saying things that have to be bleeped as soon as the play begins. That's when you know you were in 12th overtime against Andy Reid.
Wow. That's what you get.
Holy fuck, Jim.
I don't fucking know about that, Jim. God damn.
Jesus fucking Christ, Jim.
That's it. And
when even Nance starts cussing, you know you're in a good one.
That's, man, do you know, like, the actual amount of money I would pay to hear Jim Nance cuss on air? It's not. It might be five digits. I might write a five-digit check.
I think we could pool our resources and see if we can get it to happen.
Can we kickstart this Jim Nance drop an F-bomb on air?
Jim Nance start a cameo. One cuss word per $10,000. He would clean up.
For charity? Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
You also get, by the way, I did not know that, because I know Romo took some flack for being lackluster.
Yeah.
Underplayed. I don't know exactly what the word, I don't know what people's problem is. I don't necessarily know what they expect of your average announcer, but it evidently was what Tony Romo delivered. I did hear Chris Fowler's call of the winning TD. It was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Kevin Harlan's, like, I didn't really know what people were saying about Romo until I heard Kevin Harlan's, and I was like, oh, right, that's what you want.
Man, that's hard, though, because do you really want to compare yourself to Kevin Harlan? That's the thing.
Well, that's the thing. Kevin Harlan should just have the job.
I do love that we get to be, like, super critical of Tony Romo when Tony Romo can still do the thing where he predicts exactly what should happen on a play. Like, I don't think he'll get enough credit for on the final drive, which overtime contained what, two drives?
Yes, two epic voyages.
Full 15-minute quarter.
Yeah.
Two drives that took the entirety of the quarter. It was, I thought about you, Jason, because I was like, oh, I bet Jason loves this.
This was awesome. This was great.
Look at all that clock being burned. Look at the seconds dying.
Also, I love thought about because we were on the same couch at the time. But I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I thought about you. I was doing something else, but I was thinking about you.
Thank you.
But during that, there was a play where San Francisco blitzed and Casey called mesh. And when it happened, they started to rush. And right before that, Romo goes, I'd expect him to fall back in coverage here, especially given what they're seeing. And they blitzed. And you heard Tony Romo go, oh, they shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's good. But like the only discoursey thing I heard was his call on the last play and whatever. I mean, whatever. Kevin Harlan's better, but there's no real shame in.
There's no Kevin Harlan called two games at once, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to issue a public apology. Because I said last week or week before, I was like, Tony Romo's getting better.
And then what?
I said it aloud on this show.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
So we'll just blame you for that. Yeah. That's all right.
Get lazy is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I will quote Tony Romo and say, shouldn't have done that. Yes.
Okay. Hey. Sorry.
Yes. Oh. We've discussed a little bit of Michael Server's domestic nightmare at the moment.
What?
currently his manor is under assault from the forces of chaos.
Your wife leave you?
No.
Do you have an update?
Not managed to fuck that up. I do have an update, though. I talked to my neighbor, the wife portion of my neighbor.
That's a normal way to say that.
Yeah. She was like, it's fine.
All right.
Yeah. Didn't get much of a reaction from her. She's just like, well, it's fine.
All right. Take it to the bank.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to worry about this anymore.
Yeah. Your husband might be a fence guy, but.
She did tell me that the fella told her that he was going to send somebody over to do it. So maybe that's why he just dropped it. Maybe he's got someone who's an expert in fence building.
Such a drama.
That really fucking is.
Man.
That's Cleet. That's Cleet. He's going to send over Cleet the fence man.
Fence Cleet. He'll be back.
Fence Cleet. We are also talking, Holly, we're also talking various Super Bowl related things.
Mm. Hey, I have a horrifying specter.
Hmm.
Have y'all heard of the Kelce brothers?
The athletes?
Yes.
Whatever happened to those guys?
Yeah. Well, funny story. They're football players.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
One was a basketball player, I thought.
Do you guys happen to remember where the Kelce brothers matriculated?
I believe that'd be the University of Cincinnati.
That's correct.
Do you happen to remember what year Travis in particular graduated?
I think his last game was against Florida in the Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what season that was?
2009?
Yeah, they're about.
No, not at all.
They're about. All.
No?
Okay.
2010-ish.
2010?
Do y'all know who the coach of Cincinnati was at that time?
Must have been someone really good, because that was a big game.
Yeah, well, it was an awesome
game. Of all the hours and days we have lost forever to our life of this Travis and Taylor discourse, I have yet to hear anybody raise the notion that we might be confronted with Butch Jones at Taylor Swift's wedding.
Yeah.
Let that in.
You know what I just realized?
Just let that in. Let that into your heart. Let that in and let it run around for a while.
So Butch Jones will be there, probably as Travis's second best man.
Mm-hmm. They're close. That's the other thing. They're tight.
Yeah, this isn't a joke. This isn't a joke.
I'm not doing
it. We've never told
they're
jokes.
Tight. Yeah. Some of you weren't covering Cincinnati in the early 2010s. I was.
So
Butch
Jones will be there. He'll just be there.
Yeah.
Also, we know,
like, this is not far-fetched.
One of Taylor Swift's, like, lifelong best buddies from Tennessee is Haley Williams, who wrote a song entitled Brick by Boring Brick.
Oh.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was obvious all along. This was unavoidable.
It's all been there.
It's all happening.
Hey, what now, Swifties? You think you're good at math? Look what I just did. Let me into your inner circle. I'll see how good I am at this.
I was telling somebody earlier today that this is a really interesting NFL time for me, because this is the point at which the guys who I covered when I was first starting out, you know, as like fresh recruits, you know, the guys who were hotshot high school players who were you know, blossoming, promising freshmen at their college programs are now like at the pinnacle of their NFL careers. And I'm like, man, you're that kid who ate seven. You're still that kid who ate seven bags of sour gummy worms and puked his guts up. That's not a derogatory comment. That's the mark of a great athlete.
Just facts.
Science.
That's the mark of a great athlete. But never has this created a stronger earworm than it did the moment I remembered who Travis's college coach was for his last couple seasons there.
The other thing about his
sorry. Were you going to say who his first coach was at Cincinnati?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do that one first.
Well, Butch had a thing for a minute where he served as kind of a paddle duck to a guy who turns even weirder colors. and that'd be one Brian Kelly.
Yep.
I can't imagine. I do not. If Brian Kelly and the Kelseys are close, I am not aware of it. I assume they're not, because I feel like BK would have tried to capitalize it on this point. Like, oh, look, somebody out there likes me.
Yeah.
Unlike you people. What do you mean? What do I mean, you people?
Abominable dance memes he'd be posting. And whatever.
Anyway, carry on.
The other thing about the Kelce brothers, I know some people are sick of them. I'm whatever. One of them wears pro wrestling mask.
I'm sick of the most normal. I really like the idea that one of you floated earlier today about, or Floyd floated earlier today, that we created six Kelces in a lab to help push vaccines through, and that Jason is the one who came out off cut, but we kept him anyway.
The there was a story by Justin Williams a few weeks ago about their college days, which includes just the wildest shit. Like when Travis was suspended for weed, and Big Brother Jason is like, listen, I'm gonna keep an eye on him, it's gonna be good, I got him, right? Jason leaves the house, comes back, Travis is smoking weed. Jason chases Travis, who runs and locks himself in a bathroom. Jason is determined to deliver the message that, Travis, you fucked up. So what does he do? He punches his way in, not through the door, no, but through the drywall. Cusses Travis out and then goes and sits down and eats, I believe it's cited as Chipotle. Mm-hmm. And that was it. From that moment on, Travis was like, team leader. Team leader.
All you needed was your brother
punching through
like
a
horror
wall.
Movie villain punching through the wall.
I think this also, is maybe why I have such a high tolerance for them. They could have been neighbors with my brother the year he and his buddies stole a Coke machine off of campus and put it on their porch and filled it with beer cans and charged $1 a can at parties, mm-hmm. and made an absolute killing. Only then they got robbed because everybody knew they had a shit ton of quarters in their house and they could not call the cops because stolen Coke machine. Yeah.
But they learned a lot of lessons. They gained a lot of XP.
Not at Tennessee. They weren't there long enough, but you know.
If you're going to be a criminal,
go Blue Raiders.
They found the Omar of Knoxville, who's like, yeah, I rob the criminals. I'm a criminal who robs a criminal. I'm in this for a shitload of quarters. That's amazing.
Entrepreneurs. Anyway, I think that's what gives me my high Kelce tolerance. I love this shit.
Yeah. Like, it's sort of thing where I'm aware people become tired of them. That hasn't afflicted me, but
also it's never been easier to avoid. You know, people, as much as we love to discuss, you know, pop culture saturation, it has truly never been easier to avoid the things in pop culture that annoy you. You know what you can do? Turn on Hulu. There, it's the entire history of television. Go on.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to go to an entirely different culture altogether, go to Tubi. Just go watch movies on Tubi.
There's some shit in there. Dude,
another planet entirely.
Listeners, you can't see at home, but my eyes just lit up with the fire of all seven kings of hell, because I'm not sure that any of you know at home that Roku has the original seasons of Great British Bake Off that they did not put on Netflix, that you used to have to find on Vimeo. All of them for free.
Are these the ones before Paul Hollywood pretends he actually matters?
Yeah. It's quite charming.
Yeah, that's good. But yeah, you can avoid people. I guess I don't really understand. I'm tired of fatigue.
You do. People just want to be mad.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Well, why are you going to be mad at, how's this? If you're going to be mad at Travis, how can you be mad at Jason Kelce? That I don't understand.
I mean, they're just two different kinds of galoot. Mm-hmm. How could you be tired of a galoot?
I think for a while we had like a nationally recognized galoot shortage, and they've really filled that.
Yeah.
You know,
sorry, masculinity is back, and this is what it looks like. Unfortunately, it has a famous girlfriend.
We skewed a little too much little man. We went a little too Bruno Mars, Timothy Chalamet, and now we're just,
oh my god, and Wonka didn't win a single Oscar. Oh,
yeah.
America is healing.
You know why? There wasn't a Kelce brother in it.
They had to get their weight up a little bit.
Lumpas.
Wonka starring
Enormous.
Yeah, you need a little more oomph in your oompa.
I'm actually really excited for Travis to take the LeBron turn, not the sports part, the Hollywood part.
Mm-hmm. It's
please put him in Space Jam.
I need Travis Kelce playing somebody who's just doing one last job.
That's Ooh. It. Is he planning it? That's what I
oh
want.
Oh my God. This is y'all. You know the show that we've talked about making for fully 10 years, which is the buddy cop where they're both loose cannons? This is what they were made for. Like, you turn in your badge and gun. You turn in your badge and gun.
Yeah, I went Travis Kelce in The Nice Guys Part 2.
Yeah. It's a Christmas movie. Everybody will love it.
Just a scene where both of them are throwing guns and badges at each other in the office, right? Just a whole bag of them.
And then they leave without pants to go solve
the crime. One of them splits the other one's lip when he hits him in the face with a pistol. Ow!
My wife left me. Your wife left me. Our wives left us. No one's been left more wifeless than these two guys.
The polyamorous loose cannons who've been left by their wife. Sells itself.
Oh, hell, man, that's the next great CBS frontier, because we've run out of law enforcement iterations. We're just going to make poly versions of all the law enforcement shows we already have.
Poly and order.
Chicago, yeah. Fuck Family Fire. Tuesdays.
The Poly Mentalist.
Spencer, you could finally do your bad doctor show. He's bad because he has too many wives.
Yeah,
he's
just the dumbest.
He's drowning in paperwork at home.
Yeah. Whose night is it? I don't know.
Listen,
the patient died on the table.
So incompetent house?
I didn't watch a lot of Big Love, but poly marriage sounds like a scheduling nightmare.
I was reading an article. Apparently, it's all based on like Google calendars. Like it's a whole thing where you got to be good at spreadsheets.
True.
Which color am I?
I guess you got to have one person who's good at spreadsheets.
Yeah, as long as there's one who's passionate about scheduling, maybe the whole thing works out.
Yeah, I want Dumb House. Yes, like that is my dream show.
Where it's always Lupus.
Yeah,
but he never guesses that.
Yeah, but he never guesses Lupus. He's probably like, I don't know, some shit's fucked up.
It turns out to be Lupus at the end of every episode. He's like, ah!
I knew it. Is it lots of like attempting to discover diseases to get named after himself, but it never works.
Travpox. Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, I can see this so clearly.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. He has like six people living in his house who are all in committed sexual relationships, but he doesn't really understand what any of them are. He's like, who am I having sex with tonight? Just rolls in. Dumb house, only on Fox.
Call it Dumb House. That's what Fox would call it. Fox knows. Fox knows you just call it what people are going
to
call it.
Hey, man, credit where it's due. 911 moved to ABC. The dumb is spreading.
I hope that show just serves as kind of like termites.
I hope it lasts longer than Seinfeld.
It just impregnates other networks with 911 shows, right? Like not 911 Kansas City.
I mean, look what happened. The results speak for themselves. They got 911 Lone Star off the ground and went directly to motherfucking volcano in the middle of Texas. Was like this second episode. They went volcano. Yep.
What's not plausible about that?
I didn't say anything was implausible.
Lots of volcanoes have happened in the history of the world.
When you think about it.
Yeah. I can think of at least four major cities that definitely need their own 911 series, and
need to be decimated by volcanoes.
Sorry, I thought you were going to. Time for Spencer's shit list.
Here they are. He didn't manage
number one.
The prophet Spencer is about to
issue. Number one. So he's coming for Boise.
Spencer's condemnation has arrived.
Those crooks in Washington, D.C.
He's got the hair.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the easy choice. Yeah, you're going for cheap pop with that one.
I'm going to play the classics here. Because they work.
Yeah, yeah. Crowd loves it.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Boo.
Text me again, Chuck Schumer. Volcano.
I've greatly enjoyed the current WWE run because now people are chanting 25 to 30 year old critiques of The Rock. That's the best.
Oh yeah, bringing it back. Yeah.
I love history.
Yeah, we've completely brought back brought back the Rocky Sucks
Black
thing.
Adam broke that man.
It did something bad. It did something real bad.
It's insane. He's playing literally a comic book villain. Didn't want to be a villain. Comes back to WWE and realizes, like, oh, being a villain is awesome. So whatever reason, this is where he's comfortable playing an actual character. Like, he is literally a better actor as a wrestler than as a movie star.
I respect
that. Yeah. But I've also greatly enjoyed watching Seth Rollins attempt to play second banana, because it's a lot like
while dressed like
who's the Boy Scout who's going to help out Cody Rhodes who's in a suit, and you're like, ah, here's the good virtuous normal guy who's wearing a pimp jacket, high-heeled spangled boots,
yeah,
and like these giant video game protagonist sunglasses.
He's only unlocked one pair of sunglasses.
He hasn't gotten to the second pair yet. He needs to grind some XP before he can get it.
It's a very fascinating character, because like, he does this whole shtick, and then when it's time to like cut a promo, he like takes the sunglasses off to get serious, and it's like, dog, you're still wearing the rest of that getup. You're so good at this, it almost works.
He needs sunglasses under them.
Yeah.
When he whips it off, it's just, yeah.
I did kind of want to talk about Chip.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly thought we would lead with that, but now it's time.
So the standing head coach of UCLA left to become a coordinator at a team in his own conference.
A Big Ten rival.
Can I give you some context from a reader of ours?
I would love it. I need all the context I could get on this.
So I just thought this was interesting. The day before this happened, we got a reader email from Andy that said all of the following things, and I'm just going to read this. He said, just want to make sure you folks are aware of how strange things are at UCLA right now. After a blowout loss at Arizona, rumors began to circulate that Chip was done. UCLA then lost at home to Arizona State, playing a safety and tight end at quarterback, and the 24/7 site reported he was getting fired. The most visible major donor, the one whose name is on the football facility, then gave an interview to a secondary newspaper in LA, not the Times, gave his full-throated support to Chip, including that players pass drug tests and get good grades. UCLA then crushed USC at the Coliseum. At some point, UCLA decided not to fire Chip. UCLA then got blown out at home by Cal. Michigan State then hired Jonathan Smith, who grew up in the shadow of the Rose Bowl and has long been rumored to covet the UCLA job. Jed Fish, who would have probably crawled to Westwood. Again, this is Andy saying this. I'm not saying Jed Fish would crawl anywhere. He has fins. Took the Washington job instead. This after Kalen DeBoer took the Washington job in a year UCLA could have also fired Chip. Chip, who makes $6 million a year, then began interviewing for approximately every offensive coordinator job in the NFL. He didn't get any of them. And here we are today. Good thing there are no big changes on the horizon that might require a locked-in leader. Hey, so... Andy, way to go, bud, because you beat this thing by like 8 hours.
And then became the offensive coordinator at Ohio State.
I would have been. I'm really glad that we didn't get this in time to do a show about it, because I would have told you there's no way that Chip ever. It's been a long time since Chip had a boss like that.
At all.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since anybody's been able to tell him anything.
He's not a pleasant person.
And
like when he is a boss.
A boss he used to boss around.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Day, a former New Hampshire player.
Well, so again, like, I mean, you can't say Ryan Day does not know what he's getting into.
I mean, it feels just like Chip was like, well, which job would I like to have next year after being fired? I guess I'll just take it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kind of did a little Candyland shortcut.
Zoop.
Which,
that's a noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to do the scurrilous thing and give the scoundrel Chip Kelly, who abandoned UCLA for a coordinator job at a different school and cut out the middleman, I would like to give him at least a couple of bits of dastardly credit. One, never acted like he wasn't leaving.
Oh,
never.
No.
Not for a second. Interviewed for every job on the planet.
I mean, they acted like they were firing him, so.
didn't recruit not one goddamn bit. Not one. Go look at UCLA's recruiting. It is it is in the subtoilet of all toilets. It is
the subtoilet.
It is in it is located
toilet's toilet.
It is located in the toilet of the toilet of the toilet's toilet.
Thing it's toilet shits in.
Which is it's not that they're bad at recruiting, it's that they're not recruiting. They're just not.
Just chill.
They're not doing it.
Just kind of out there, man. Just vibing.
Everybody, there's one place in the country that should recruit itself. I guess it is UCLA, but I don't think they mean that quite so literally.
Well, as a Big Ten university, they're you know, they're focused more on academics, on things of that nature.
Beating Michigan in the U.S. News and World Report.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Their rivalry with Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do all the things to make fun of them, but one thing we cannot do is assail their academic ranking, where they are arguably the best public institution right now.
That is actually the subject of the fight with Michigan, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But which is good, because they certainly can't lean on their recruiting ranking for the 2024 class coming up. That would be because right now, if you're looking at what they got coming in, we're down a little bit, y'all. We're down a little bit when it comes to Westwood.
I mean, how down? You bring us into this.
We need to hold something. Is that how?
Diamond chip. You know,
one commit. One. Mm. So, a lot of times, this is my long way of getting to. A lot of times, coaches say the school sells itself. Chip Kelly for the last month literally meant
has been conducting an experiment.
To see if the school could sell itself.
Turns out it doesn't.
And it did to one person. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're kind of in a hole. If that sounds bad, by the way, Indiana's behind them. Indiana's behind them.
It's kind of funny that the flip side of this is, like a month ago on Hand in the Dirt, no less, I was like, I don't really believe in Ohio State. And then they stole like 8,000 five stars and stole Chip Kelly. And I'm like, you know what? I'm starting to believe in Ohio State a little bit.
Ohio State mad.
They're not so much mad as they're like hungry, hungry hippoing. Just all the marbles.
One extremely funny detail, by the way, about Indiana being last. They have two commits to UCLA's one and are still behind them in the recruiting. Jesus
Christ. It's not a lot of guys. Are you looking at
what did you bring to the class? Negative stars. I subtracted.
Are you looking at 2025?
Yeah, I was looking at 2025. Okay.
Why?
2020.
Why? What's 2024 look like?
Still, and it's funny, like, still thinking, like, oh, it's February. They got plenty of time. And it's like, no. Signing day is this year.
It's coming up, brother.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's all super bad.
So first you lose your transfers. You get that. And then there's another portal round, and you probably end up in the hole there as well. Then you got to play football games. Everyone sees this team, and everyone thinks, "Ooh, that's a lot of plane flights." And then you get to sign some guys. Everyone who's excited about that experience.
Can
you fly directly into Bloomington now? you might actually be able to. I don't know. I'm sorry, that was mean.
The multiple sort of phases of the recruiting port of the transfer portal and of various signing days have really only given people who are despairing about their football team multiple new phases of despair.
They love it. People love that shit. People love feeling bad.
It's great. So I was like, oh, great. Billy could just fuck up another transfer class. Oh, awesome. We could lose another guy. That's great. Oh, look, we got a transfer guard from Dartmouth. We're saved. Awesome.
Imagine hiring Bill O'Brien and ending up with Chip Kelly. In every way. What a multifaceted experience.
Life is a journey, and sometimes journeys end in a hospital.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, just remember, sometimes the Oregon Trail takes you to fabulous places, and sometimes you die of dysentery.
That's kind of what I was trying to get to, yeah.
Yeah. It's an appropriate metaphor with Chip. His Oregon Trail turned out real weird.
Ew.
It was great. The Oregon part, specifically. The Oregon part.
And now he's a banker.
But then he kept going.
Yeah.
Oh, he's reverse Oregon trailing it. He already has all his money, and now he's going to the East Coast.
Yeah, we'll see if he gets there.
Do you wish to return to Ohio?
Why?
Yeah, no.
Oregon Trail 2, we're going back.
We're scared. We're scared we're turning around.
There's old no PlayStation.
Link, old Link needs young Link. We have to go find him. We got a death stranding it all the way back to Ohio.
We have to unify the chips.
They must meet.
Okay. Has anybody here watched the most recent season of Great British Bake Off? I hate to bring it up again.
I don't believe I've ever seen any episodes.
It is a delightful program, and you should partake of it. But in this most recent season, which I have just started, because I'm behind because it's over, but they make animal cakes in the second episode, like cakes that look like animals, not like if you're making a cat cake, they don't want a flat cake with two triangles on the top for, you know, a head. They want a cat that's like sits up, like a 3D kind of cake. Mm-hmm. And not that all cakes aren't 3D, you know what I'm talking about. Right. They had this incredibly when they as the bakers are telling you what kind of cake they're making, they show a little cartoon of it, and then they show a little cross section of it to show like here's what the fillings are going to be on the inside. But so they end up cutting cross sections out of all these cartoon animals and just showing delicious fillings. It's profoundly disturbing in a way I'm not sure I'm describing well.
But you're basically talking about as adorable dog made of cake. Adorable mm-hmm. cake dog with a that, knife that,
and
going
then the
its
knife
head.
Goes into it and you're like, oh, lemon poppy seed. Hmm. Yeah.
And it's still smiling, yeah. Right? It's like, oh, like smiling
it went,
cake
it went
dog
right through its one fondant eyeball and half of its mouth is still just there.
Like if the Pop-Tart bowl had gore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next year it will.
It's got bones.
Oh god.
It's screaming.
That would be
it's screaming in pleasure.
I will start an NIL collective dedicated solely to the welfare of players who make the Pop-Tart bowl next year, bite into one and then scream at the nearest camera, "It's got bones."
Make the Pop-Tart scream.
I would like to thank Pop-Tarts again for turning our sport into a Nordic horror movie for one day a year.
We must sacrifice him.
And then,
I mean, it's perfect.
He likes
it. It's an end of year festival and everything.
My greatest fantasy is to be destroyed.
Did the Swedish Yule Goat make it? Do we know?
I don't know if you can. Can we look at that, Paul? Paul, can we get that? Paul's our researcher.
Mm.
He hasn't done anything until right now.
No. I don't know if the Yule Goat made it.
The headline is Sweden's Yule Goat has been burned, run over, and shot. This year it's going to the birds.
Undefeated.
Yeah. So, but this year it was hungry birds. This has never happened before. Anna Corinne Neiman, the goat spokesperson, told As
I'm
It
sorry,
Happens host.
What is Nil the name of the spokesman?
Anna Corinne Neiman. It says here, a particularly rainy harvest season made it difficult for farmers to get the grain out of the straw for this year's 13 meter tall Yuletide goat, a Christmas tradition in the Swedish village of, I don't know this name. As a result, jackdaws and other hungry birds have taken roost upon its mighty horns, where they're ripping off the straw from its frame in search of tasty treats.
Yeah, you thought we couldn't burn it down.
He looks a little bit uncombed or unkempt right now, Neiman said. But to me, of course, he's still very handsome.
Oh, the slow death. Okay.
Wow. God.
Courtesy cbc.ca for the article.
the birds are executing the will of God. That's what it is. It's God's will. That's beautiful. Very, very fond. Very fond of this already. Very fond of... very fond, by the way, of UCLA actually hiring Deshaun Foster, because that's pretty much what they could do. Hire somebody on the staff.
I know that we're not doing coaching predictions anymore after, you know, Fuente.
Everything.
Mac. Everything. But I like this hire. Can I say that through clenched teeth? I like this hire.
All hires are fine.
Because I was talking to Ryan about this morning, and the point that I was trying to make to him was that, like, UCLA football's primary nemesis is UCLA, the university, and Deshaun Foster has had a number of different roles within the university. And I can't think there would be another candidate that would know their way around in both a good and a, okay, we're going to have to fight these people sense. But like you couple that with the player buy-in, and like this really does feel like the best available scenario for everybody.
Yeah, although there's not a whole lot on the roster to keep them from like
I'm trying, okay?
I know.
And I wasn't bullshitting. I really do think this was a good hire, but he's got a lot of work ahead of him.
This just got to be tough. And I think this is something we're gonna do now that we have to actually sort of. It's one thing to know intellectually that all of these teams are now in the same conference. It's another to start to see it play out and to go, oh, they're mega boned. Like they're super doomed. You know, like it's one thing to go, I don't know, UCLA might be headed for Indiana territory. And then you see it and go, oh man, UCLA's headed for Indiana territory. It's like, real on a level now that we could appreciate.
I think the way I see it is like UCLA got on the life raft, right? Well, here's the thing. The life raft is being dragged behind the aircraft carrier. That's Ohio State. You're on the life raft. Like, yeah, you're not sinking, but you're not on the big boat.
Yeah. Also, there's big waves back here that they don't even feel.
Yeah, you're right? Just a little choppy turbulence for you. You'll be fine.
And as they found out, if there's a very talented sailor on the lifeboat,
well, he can climb.
Guess where
up.
He gets to go? The big boat. Guess who you don't have anymore? The guy who makes everything work. Ta-da! Sucks, man. You know, and I'm kind of wondering what that moment's going to be in the SEC for me, where I go, "Oh boy, that program's in trouble." But that's like, I think there's going to be more and more moments, even in the offseason, where you look at programs sort of struggling to adjust to this new reality. And like, it's going to become more real to you that, oh, fuck, you live here now. You know, like, this is where you're at. And you're going to get your head coach stolen by a program that's in your own conference. And they're just going to take whatever they want and you can't do much about it. Like, if Deshaun Foster's really good as head coach, they should hire him at running backs coach. Just keep teaching UCLA this lesson. Just Ohio State taking whatever they want.
Yeah. I mean, it's like to have 30 coaches change jobs, even though so many schools are just hiring interims, is insane. Like, because of the portal, so many of them are just hiring interims. But like, I mean, in that way, the portal is cutting down on college football chaos. You know what I mean? It's like, If everyone was hiring from other schools, would we have had 40 FBS jobs change hands?
I like this approach, Jason, because it gets us to, we don't talk about all of the good chaos
exactly
that the portal is preventing.
look how normalizing the portal is.
Yeah, this is also, there are occasionally sometimes debates that pop up that I don't really give a fuck about. For instance, the debate about whether coaches are comfortable in college anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether it's,
oh my God.
Like, God, it's making it so hard. First of all, making it hard for the managerial class. I'm out.
I love it. Boy, make it harder. Money. Make it suck more. Yeah. Like, it's okay. So Jeff Hafley leaves from almost getting fired for
first
an NFL
of all, carrying
job.
Water for Jeff Hafley.
And everyone's like, oh, this is because it's so hard to coach in college football. It's so hard to make millions of dollars in college football.
Pete, could you outsource that one?
And then where's that take go when Chip does the same thing but stays in college?
El Misterioso.
Nothing?
That Ohio State is the NFL.
Well, granted, they are, sure.
I mean,
they're
troops, and that makes them professionals.
Okay, yes.
Hold on, Holly. Let's go ahead and connect that. Special forces on the ground somewhere in the world. Central Command, Ohio State.
Okay.
We can go ahead and connect this. They are troops, right? Via the NFL. Because the NFL also are troops.
All right. William Morris, delegate. I will take my money now. Thank you.
Can we do a brief podcast?
Yeah. Business? Why? Well, something going on?
I'll sing briefly.
Podcast business. It's the business. Just business.
There you go.
That's the brief one. I love it.
Dang.
I love how ready you are to drop that at a moment's notice anytime.
Listen, it's the only thing I contribute to the show.
I just wanted to mention that if you're coming to our live show on Friday and you don't know where your ticket is, check Splash's website, because that's where your ticket is. It should have emailed to you. If that didn't work, check the website. The other thing is our Trevor Project fundraiser ends this Friday night. Call it at the end of the live show. The Trevor Project fundraiser will be concluded. So all sales between right now and February 17th, the money from those sales will be added to our donation. So if you have delayed, right now is the time. Thank you.
We're going to have one of those giant paper thermometers that we can color in.
I hadn't thought about doing that, but...
Crafts!
Yeah, we'll add crafts. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll bring a crafting table, I guess.
Love it, please. Excited to see everybody who's going to show out this Friday night to join
Full Cast in Conversation.
I want to do a quick mention for the newsletter that Holly and I put out twice a week, two things a week. That would be Channel 6. Working on something very very fun and exciting because, you know, football's over. So why not go ahead and talk about how everyone on the internet lies? So I'm trying to prove why you can't land a plane. That's it.
Except he's accidentally proving on the way that he, Spencer, could land a plane. On account of being built different.
But it could work for me.
I am percentages more capable, several percentage points more capable of landing the plane than an average person who has not attempted this or researched it or looked into a flight.
So what's
great about, we're all still.
What's great about this is that 30 seconds ago, some people probably thought I was joking.
So is it how percentages close are you at this point?
You know, I would say this. The average person just sit cold into the cockpit of the airplane, according to my research, which you can read on Channel 6, our fantastic newsletter. The chances aren't good, and with me, they're slightly less than terrible.
Spencer, I view landing a plane as a binary act. Either you do or do not successfully land the plane.
Spencer, how much Steiner
there's many different gradations of how you land. Let me put it this way. How are we getting to the ground, and at what speed?
Yeah, that is my question. Yeah.
I think if I am in charge, you stand a slightly better chance of not dying. Slightly better. And those chances are still pretty slim.
Again, that's Steiner math.
Yeah, this is, yeah. You got a 50% chance of survival. But in my hands, because I'm a mutant.
Anyway, the LA Times interviewed a bunch of Boeing employees and former Boeing employees this week who said that they would not let their family fly on MAX jets and wouldn't fly on them themselves.
I'm sure it's fine.
Probably fine.
Yeah, seems totally fine. But if you're in a MAX jet and I'm at the wheel, it won't matter because the bolts are going to fly out of that bitch anyway. So,
woo. Are you magnetic?
Yeah, in so many ways, yes.
Oh, no, we never mind. We went over that last week. Okay.
Yeah. Channel 6! In our bio, subscribe, thrive.